The Go Birds podcast is sponsored by Ashley, America's number one furniture and mattress store.
Late summer heat has hit Philly hard and August humidity is peaking. Don't let your energy bills skyrocket before taking action on failing windows. Call the pros at Window Nation right now. Throughout August, get 50% off all window styles, plus zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 full years. Upgrade to energy-efficient windows from Window Nation. They install in just 1 day or less. Beat the heat, protect your budget, and save big today. Schedule your fast, free consultation now at windownation.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're listening to the Go Birds podcast.
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds podcast, sponsored by Ashley, the official furniture and mattress store of the Go Birds pod. We think Saturday? It's the best one around. And this Saturday,
yeah,
Burlington, New Jersey. I've already gotten a couple Go Birds real ones who said they're going to try and make it out there. Come hang out with us. We're going to be there on Saturday, August 29th at the Burlington Ashley. It's going to be so awesome. We can't wait to meet some people from Ashley, hang out, Check out a cooling mattress. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we're going to get to it. I'm going to need details about this free 75-inch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll tell you all about Saturday coming up a little later in the show. Yeah. But off the top, coming out of this at Ashley, we can't wait. We're finally back out doing Go Birds Radio on the road, and we're so excited.
It's been a while.
Excited. All right. We used to do it every freaking week, so we can't wait. All right. Let's dive in and talk some birds because, look, we have a preseason game left. I think a lot of people might not realize that. You know, it is tomorrow night. Probably we're recording this on Thursday. It is Friday night.
Friday, 8 p.m.
AP, great. Love that.
I said this on another pod. They really should move preseason games to weekdays.
I agree. This was a great take by you. I fully agree. It's nonsense.
I mean, good way to spend the Friday night, you know, watch the Eagles.
Many things I'd rather do than watch the Eagles on Friday night.
Well, the beat writer 53-man roster competition due Saturday morning. So Friday night's a big night. Big night for that.
Yes.
So very, very trying to win that.
Never so you're talking about it, something that everyone cares about, really. Yeah, exactly. The listeners are all waiting with bated breath to find out.
Well, I like to think there would be some
I want you to win. We want you to win. Sure.
I am the king of training camp, so I feel like it's time for me to get my final crown. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it. I want to get into the end of training camp and the final stats, as it were, your breakdown of everything you saw and all that. But let's get into some specifics for Friday night's game because there are a couple interesting angles to it. Let's start with Mekhi Lemon because I think – of all the training camp stories we've talked about, he's the one we haven't seen play. You know? Like, we've talked about everything pretty much. Jonathan Grenard, really the only other guy who we've talked a ton about, who we have not really seen out on the field doing things. It does appear that Lemon might actually play in the game.
Yeah, so at the last practice, they did like a walkthrough thing, and it looked like Mekhi was part of that. So, well, didn't look like it. He was. He was out there. That's what it looked like when I looked. But I think he's going to play. Now, the question is, how much does he play? What type of positions they put him in terms of, you know, I mean, his game is really one thing, which is over the middle. So it's going to be hard to just do like a go route down the sideline. I'd love to see it just for to see what happens. But it looks like he is going to play. And I can see the pros and cons of it. I think the pro is he gets to go through a game day. He hasn't played in a live football game.
Yeah, real life action and stuff.
But then it's the same kind of debate we always have with the starters, which is, is it worth the risk?
Like, he's not playing with Jalen.
Seven plays going to be worth, right? He's not getting chemistry with Jalen. Yeah. Like, he's not played in a football game in a while, but he has played in a football game. So it's not like Uar Bernard, where, you know, ideally would like him to play in one football game before he plays in the regular season.
Which probably won't happen anyway.
Yeah. Although I don't know. End of the year. You never know. But yeah. So I think Mekhi is going to play. And look, I think what you want to see from him is what you haven't seen so far. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but like, just one thing where it's like, that looks awesome. Or like, look at this play. That looks repeatable. On the open practice on Tuesday night, he did have a touchdown, which was very cool to see, but it was a touchdown where he was completely uncovered. There was nobody within 10 yards of him. Like, I have a lot of belief in my athletic ability. I think me or you could have caught that, right? Like, it was so good design, all that. And they got creative where they put him in the backfield and he went up. But I just think I want to see him like catch a ball over the middle in traffic and go. I want to see him ideally win a go route, that, you know. But one thing that's really stood out since he started to practice more and more is it's difficult to get him the ball. It's not easy. Like, the way they're having to manufacture touches to him is things like an extremely, you know, a 1 yard pass just so he can like get the ball. And then you have to like set up blocking and everything. But the targets Jalen has had for him over the middle on the last day of practice, a target over the middle, tight coverage, like, it's just knocked away. He didn't have any separation on the open practice on Tuesday. Interception towards Mekhi Lemon because Tariq Woolen was all over him. Now, that's a tough matchup because Tariq Woolen is maybe the tallest cornerback in the league, and Mekhi Lemon might be the smallest starting receiver in the league, or at least in that discussion. So that's a tough matchup, but those are the realities of he's going to be going up against tough competition. Like, Quinyon was on him quite a bit on Tuesday, and that's a good matchup, right? Like, Quinyon is an elite corner. You will not face many cornerbacks better than Quinyon. But he's not winning that matchup. And I know you shouldn't expect him to. So if he's going to play on Friday, I would just love to see one play of like, there it is. You know, that's what we saw in college. Or, you know, break a bunch of tackles. Like, in theory, he should be better, you would think, in a game where there's tackling, because his whole thing is like playing tough, breaking tackles and all that. But he's also undersized. So you want to see him against NFL, I don't want to say competition, because it's going to be mostly, you know, second and third stringers or four stringers out there. But yeah, it looks like he's going to play, and hopefully something good happens.
So I don't really care. I don't know that I would play him. I get it. I think it's fine. He's going to have to play in 2 weeks, but if it were me, I'd probably just give the hamstring two more weeks.
That's what I would do. You know what I mean?
Like, so like, I don't think that I'd play him. I don't.
The adrenaline.
Like
too.
I'm much more concerned about just him not getting hurt than I'm about seeing a play. Like, I'm with you. Like, I would prefer to see him make a play, but also I'm not judging anything with him until the regular season and until we get some time moving forward and stuff. But sure, I'd like to see a play, but I wouldn't play him. So I'm not like, you know.
I'm a little surprised they are. Like, I know they did with Cooper.
Especially when it'd be one thing if when he came back from injury, he was on the third team and he had to like work his way up, right? But they put him right back with the first team. So it's like, all right, so if he's a first, why is he playing? No one else is playing. What are we doing?
Which is also interesting because Eli Sowers, the second round pick, never got any reps with the first team. And Mekhi Lemon misses 10 practices, was with the first team, misses 10 practices, is right back with the first team. So, you know, me and you had discussions throughout this whole Mekhi Lemon injury about like, well, how effective is he going to be early? And that is a question. But the other question is like, how much are they going to get him the ball? And one thing that's definitely stood out for me over the last three practices that he's been involved in is they're going to get him the ball. Good. Or at least they're going to try.
Good.
Hopefully. They're going to try their hardest. So I think the best way I could phrase it is, I think in the game, in week one, like Lemon, I think they will manufacture touches for. Devontae, obviously they will. Saquon Goddard. Wicks, I think, might be a flow of the offense guy, and Lemon is now. He could still have a big game, right? Like, he could get the ball, he could get a bunch of targets. But I think Mekhi, like, they're using him in motion all the time. Like, they are invested in making this.
Well, I think they drafted him with a purpose. I think they drafted him because,
and that's my worry.
Well, again, I don't think it's like, I think you're thinking of it too much as like a scheme gadget
thing. I'm thinking of like a Rager thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think it's a Rager thing. I think it's just they drafted a guy that fits what they're doing.
Like, but that's theoretically what they were trying to do a Rager.
Rager was speed. Like, they were we're slow. We're trying to get fast. We're going to take someone measured fast.
Right.
Like, Mekhi Lemon is someone who was awesome in college. Like, it's a different archetype of a player. The point is that with Rager, they were like, we need to get fast. So let's get someone who's fast, and we're not going to worry about the football as much. This one is like the reverse of that. It's like they've got a guy who they think is a great football player who will fit into what they're doing more than a guy who runs fast, jumps high, is tall. So, you know what I mean? I get what you're saying with the philosophy behind it, but I think it is different because of the type of person or player that they drafted.
Well, I think one difference is you can make the argument Mekhi was the top receiver on the board.
Well, yeah, sure. Moment, right? Yeah, I think a lot of people thought that. Yeah.
So there's that. But the similarity I see is drafting for a purpose instead of drafting for the prospect.
But again, I think there's a difference between drafting for a scheme and drafting for a ability. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do. I think there's similarities, but I see your
point. Think it's a very different thing.
Because the reason they passed on Justin Jefferson was because they had Zach Ertz essentially in the slot and they wanted an outside guy. So passing on
Jefferson is a different thing than the Rager pick itself. I get your point. They're together in a way, but I get what you're saying. I just don't think it's apples to apples.
But what I think we're going to see in week one, and we still have 2 weeks till week one, which is kind of crazy. It's definitely a longer window than it used to be. But in week one, I think you're going to see them. I think you're going to see them like find ways to get him the ball. And it could be a great thing. Like, if he is great after the catch, if he, you know, is able to break tackles, he does strike me as a guy that will rise to a moment. Like, the personality, I think he's excited to like go out there
and show what he has.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like also like get physical. Like, he seems like somebody that enjoys the physical part of football. And I think that's really important. So yeah, I'm curious to see how it goes. And on Friday night, that's the other thing too. On Friday night, are you going to run plays that you're going to run in week one?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But then it's like, really, what's the point?
Well, let him run regular routes. It's not like he's only going to run his plays. Like, he will run routes as well.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But
so I think the point is you run some routes.
Yeah.
Maybe catch them all.
Well, at the very least, it makes it more exciting.
I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, it's something to look at. All right. Speaking of the game, I think there's one other thing that is an interesting angle on the game on Friday, because I honestly do think it will be the least. You know, Trotter might play, but I don't even know for sure.
I don't think Trotter will play.
That's my point. Yeah. Like, I think the top backups won't even play. Like, I think it's except a quarterback. Like, someone, Cole Payton will not play a full football game, right?
I think both backups might play.
So that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
What do you think the quarterback situation will be for Friday night? How do you think it'll be distributed? And like, I know we've talked so much. We don't need to get into our thoughts on the Dalton trade and this and that and why they did it and all. We've gone through that a million times. My question is, how does this play out?
So honestly, and I wish I had a better answer. I can tell you, I think they're both going to play. It looked like Tanner was first up in the thing, but they've handled this whole thing is like, it's just so dumb to me that it's hard for me to fully come out with like what I think they'll do. Like, it would make no sense to play McKee and then Dalton. Like, if your whole thing is Dalton's played in a ton of, by the way, inside baseball, we have something going on. Me and you are competing yawning right now.
Oh, dude, it's crazy.
It's
nonstop.
It's not helping each other.
It's killing me.
Yeah. No, trust me. Same. Yeah. But so I think we're trying our best.
Yeah, we're doing our best.
It's just it is the truest thing in the world when someone else yawns.
Yeah, it's impossible. It makes you want to. We're even talking about now. I feel like I want to yawn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like there's a name like a yawn of a preseason game or already prepared for Friday or something like that.
This is good.
But anyway. Like,
I get up early. Did you know that?
I
don't really. Yeah.
I made myself go to bed at 9 o'clock last night.
I didn't. Oh no, I did. I actually went to bed pretty early.
Yeah. Okay. I took like my,
there's no Phillies. So I was like,
my melatonin was out. Good. But Anyway, I think the way they handle this is dumb. And I think putting McKee out there and then Dalton would be so silly. If your whole thing with Dalton is he's played 100 plus games, like, duh, 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 like you're going to put him second in the third and final preseason game. But then again, it's like, so what are you going to put Tanner back there? Like one of these guys is a crucially important part of the team or they're trading for somebody else. But last year in this game, Tanner didn't play at all. He completely sat that final preseason game. So if they put him out there, you're acknowledging like you are – you have a certain lack of confidence in him to the point where you either need to see him again or you don't care. Like it's one of the two. Either you are like still trying to figure it out and you
or find it's just
you,
like whatever.
Or they're just like, well, we're not going to put, like you said they can't play Cole Payton the whole game. And you're right. They won't.
I didn't say they can't. I said they won't.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but why not? I mean, this is probably in theory, hopefully the last game he plays all year. Right. So like, you know, he's a football player. It's not like it's soccer where you have to work your way up to running 90 minutes. Like he's played football games.
He's
right?
played full football games.
Yeah, exactly. And he does not, he's not doing much in camp. So he should be rested up and ready to go. So my thing would be just to play Cole Payton, but I also don't know fully what they think about the backup quarterback spot. And if they don't feel confident in Tanner or Dalton, then I guess you have to play one of them or both of them. Cause then if you only play the one, it's like, what's it mean about the other? So this is this whole thing they've gotten themselves into with how they've handled this, where it's like, if they only play Dalton tomorrow, it's like, well, I guess Tanner got the job. If they only play McKee, then it's like, well, I guess Dalton got the job. And the reverse of that is, well, then they're probably going to cut the other one or they're going to trade the other one. And then you don't have trade leverage. So I get why you would play both from an optics standpoint, but it's dumb, I think, to make this decision based off an optics standpoint.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. I think it's almost always dumb to do things based off optics as a professional sports team. I think there are times we've talked about
it at the podium.
Yeah, we've talked about this. There are times. Yeah, exactly. There are times. But I fully agree with you. Look, I think I'm a little more lenient on them in terms of them doing this in the first place and their reasoning for it and why, like, just because I don't know. And we've talked about yesterday or last pod a couple of days ago, whatever, about potential reasons, whether to push Tanner or to separate the both of them from Jalen Moore or whatever. There's a lot of like theories. DeCamera thought to initially trade Dalton. Obviously that went horribly wrong, but like theoretically Dalton comes in, throws well. To your point, I actually agree with your point. Like, you getting a fifth? Like, what are we doing here? Like, so I get the point, but for someone like Howie, he's always looking for every market inefficiency, every little thing. Like, I don't hate that he's trying to do it, even if like that fifth is better than the seventh. Like, it might not feel like it's worth it, but if in there, I can understand like the impetus to do it. And I always like that they are thinking outside the box and doing things differently than other teams and all that. They've had a ton of success with that, but I think whatever the plan was, it is clearly not going well. I don't think there's any argument that this has played out in a good way for the Eagles or and ultimately well, like unless I guess the only thing is if Tanner really does get motivated by it and becomes better. But again, if I had to bet what it is, I think that in their mind, Tanner has gone after, I know he could come back as backup, but in their mind, Tanner's gone after this year. I think they drafted Cole Payton thinking that way, all that stuff. And that they don't really care about Tanner that much. And they thought if we could trade Dalton and get some sort of little bench, and maybe if Dalton's good here, it gives us the option to either maybe trade him or trade Tanner. Maybe we get a fourth for Tanner. If they're both good and they compete against each other and they build, like maybe. So I think that was the thought process, but I do agree with you that I think it's inarguable to say that any of it's gone well. And I just think they should cut Andy Dalton and move forward.
I mean, it seems like such the obvious answer to me. Now, maybe Dalton in a better system, although we don't know. Like, I think if 2 years ago, I think you could say, all right, you could put a quarterback in there and feel like they're stepping into a good situation. Mm-hmm. Great running game. Great offensive
line. It is a brand new thing.
Great receivers. Like, this is all unknown. Like, four games in, we could be like, well, they have a bad offensive line. Yeah. They can't run the ball.
Sean Mannion can't go plays.
Exactly. Like, so, Dalton, I think with everything around him, you would say because of his experience, you feel better about it. But I agree. The easy decision is to cut Dalton. Let me dive into something you said on the morning show, but then also just now.
Sure.
So the idea that Tanner is more than likely gone, let's like rethink that for a second, because I think that's been the assumption. And so it's like, of course, that's what's going to happen. But if you're Tanner McKee, like you're probably not going to get a legitimate chance. You're definitely not going to get handed a starting job completely. You could get a situation where like, I don't know, let's say it doesn't work out with Malik Willis in Miami, or he's not great and Kevin Petullo's there, or like in New Orleans, you have Kellen Moore, right? Like where a coach likes you and you're not like locked in at quarterback. So maybe this person's like, hey, you can try to come compete. Or if you're Tanner, you could stay with the Eagles, I don't know what his market will be. The Eagles aren't going to pay him big money because they could have Cole Payton as a top backup on a rookie contract. But I don't know if Tanner's market's like $3 million.
I don't disagree. I'm not saying it's a lock he's gone. I'm just saying that the Eagles, when they project these things forward, they have to account for all these.
Probably guessing he's gone.
They're guessing. That's my point.
So I think it's more likely than it used to be he could return.
Right. That's fair too. Yeah. But my point was when they traded for Andy Dalton, I think they were thinking Tanner's probably gone after this season. And I think that was what like spurred the thought process to do something like this and to maybe create one of the two of them being a trade chip or whatever. I think was the thought. Again, I'm not defending that it didn't work, but I do think I'm a little more like lenient with giving them grace on the thought to do it in the first place anymore.
So it's funny how we have completely turned this into trying to figure out the quarterback conversation again. But wow. the two things we have
unbelievable too, it's that Puta Thunk, the backup quarterback conversation would be so prevalent.
Yeah, yes. It's almost like people like talking about quarterbacks. And a real devastating thing for me is I just didn't do a great job tracking the backups this year. Like they kept switching them in and out. They were doing split fields. And so everyone that's like, oh, like I haven't put backup quarterback stats out because I have past years when I feel good about them. This year really? I have not because I just don't feel confident in them. Like I feel like I'm not accurately depicting. Like I've done it in like group chats on the Go Birds Insider and stuff. But like I'm not like putting it out there because I feel like it's not. Jalen's, I feel confident, like I'm fully representative. But for the backup quarterbacks, two things I'll say. One thing that could have happened is they didn't think they were going to be able to draft Cole Payton, or they didn't think it would happen, and then they
did. Was the trade before the draft? I don't remember.
Before the draft.
Okay,
I couldn't remember when it was. So it's possible that they said to themselves, like,
and then Payton was there in the fifth.
As insurance. If we draft a quarterback, like, whatever, but they get Cole Payton, and it's like now it's thrown into a bit of a tough thing because you draft him in the fifth, so like you pretty much have to keep him.
McKee was the fifth, also or sixth.
I thought McKee was sixth.
Six, actually.
So they're going to keep Cole Payton. So that could have thrown a thing into it. But the other thing, the only thing that's changed is Mannion. Like Howie was here last year. Nick was here last year. Now you could say the scheme changed. Obviously, that's part of it. But maybe it's not that they soured on McKee as a player. They don't feel he needs pushed or anything. Maybe Mannion doesn't think he's a fit for the scheme. Yeah. And maybe they don't think he's a fit for the scheme. And so that has changed things.
And also, again, we said this when it happened and then we've kind of forgotten about it. But it is also possible that they wanted a quarterback who's been in the NFL for 15 years or whatever with a new system, with a new coordinator, like that they thought Dalton, I mean, Dalton, is he older than Mannion? It probably is, right? I'm guessing. I don't know. He's probably the same.
Oh, for sure. He's got it.
Right? Yeah. So point being that like,
I mean, not for sure, but I'm pretty sure.
But then maybe they thought that Andy Dalton would bring something to the room. As a new offense, a new thing, like, and that is possible. Like we're not there for those type of conversations or those things, but I do think there is real value in, especially that position. I won't think of it for anything else, but at that position, I do think if you're learning, and to this point, we know that, you know, Jalen has always had new coordinators, but this does feel, even Vic Fangio said, the newest offense by far for Jalen. It is possible at least that Dalton was brought in for Mannion and Jalen as like, a brain in the room.
And I think that's fine. Like, that's very good logic.
If that's the case, I actually like it more.
Yeah, but it's the taking reps away from Tanner. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do. My guess is they'll just cut Dalton. Like, I think that's how this plays out.
I do, too. All right, coming up in a minute, I want to get into, and I'm so sorry to say this, dude, because I know your, like, stomach drops when I say
it.
I want to get into the end of training camp.
Sad.
And I want to get into the stats. I want to look at Jalen's stats and we'll kind of discuss it and where we're at with everything as we head into the final preseason game, the end of training camp stats. But first, if you're a Birds fan and you know nothing beats getting ready for football season, we are so close. There's only one thing in my mind, in my house, that beats getting ready for football season. And that is a great deal. And this Saturday, you can hang out with us. Come join us at the Ashley in Burlington, New Jersey from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a live in-store broadcast of the Go Birds Show. Let's go, Go Birds Radio, baby.
Never done a radio show from a furniture store.
I can't wait.
So I'm very excited.
I can't wait.
I actually think furniture stores have more of a lively atmosphere than
I do too.
Right? Like you're there, because there's excitement.
Do things.
People
you can sit down,
around.
You can, you know, you check stuff out.
Watch couples make tense decisions. It'll be really fun.
I do like that. Yes. Do you think we can narrate it on the air?
I would love to.
They're thinking about it. They are thinking about that, Ottoman. Are they going
to
do it?
Legitimately love to discuss with a couple the logistics around their decision.
Yeah.
Okay, this Ottoman's nice, but Ashley's Labor Day sale, it's on and we're going big. Ashley's Labor Day doorbusters start at just $399 plus. Shop now and pay later with Ashley's no interest financing and free delivery and setup.
That is unbelievable, but Elliot, that's not all. And you mentioned this
before.
This is the part that really has you hooked here. Ashley's throwing in a free smart TV up to 75 inches. Yes. Free, Elliot. You know, free's for me.
So I don't know what a 75 inch TV costs, but I feel like there has to be something where you, I mean, you're literally getting it for free, but you're basically, or you can view it as getting the furniture for free. Like how you want to view
it. It's an unbelievable deal, whatever it is. Huge Labor Day deals, free delivery, no interest financing, which we love, and a free TV.
More savings, more value, more reasons to shop at Ashley. So come see the live show. That's us. That's Go Birds Radio. Check out the latest furniture and mattresses and take advantage of these incredible holiday savings today and a free TV.
TV, baby.
Free and TV rhyming is
they're
very
both
good.
Things are for yeah. me, which is great.
And don't, me.
And you.
Also rhymes exactly. with TV
we
and
love
free.
It. That's right. Me, TV, free TV is me. For me. It's yeah. a beautiful thing. Don't miss our live show. Go Bird Show this Saturday and hurry in for Ashley's Labor Day sale. Ashley, it's the official furniture and mattress sponsor of the Go Birds podcast, Go Birds Radio. We can't wait.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, E. Sigh. I'm so sorry. A moment of silence.
Sad, yeah.
It's over.
Mm.
We have reached the end of training camp.
It was a good camp.
You know, the most highly anticipated and covered joint practice of all time. You were not the only WIP reporter there. We had to send the Bulldog.
The Bulldog there. Yes.
But you obviously went through all of it. A lot of talk about interceptions.
A lot of talk.
You probably said there were interceptions quite a bit.
I'm going to self-combust.
So the floor is yours. Just give us, obviously, Jalen and the stats, but you're, you know, as the, not just creator. I'm trying to think of a better
inventor.
Word.
Inventor. I mean, I like to say godfather.
I feel like trailblazers, you know, like there's something more impactful. Like, you know, when someone starts something truly great, you know, trailblazer is a good one.
Yeah, I mean, innovator and trailblazer are the two.
Yeah, but that's the thing I like about trailblazer is it implies that
no one had done it before.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It implies a level of
importance.
I kind of picture a trailblazer cutting down weeds as they walk.
Okay.
Like walking through a forest and like cutting, like forging a path.
Yeah, sure. I think of Damon Sattemeyer, but you know, same idea.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah. That documentary in them was very good. Did you watch that? Yes. Yeah. That was a wild team. I used to love that
the
team.
The Jailblazers, yeah. They were so great.
I did love that team. Yeah. That was the golden era of my basketball.
I probably should say Damian Lillard if we're being real though, but
No, I actually think...
I think the Joe Blazers are more prevalent than Lillard. I feel like Lillard's like... I mean, Mr. Damon Stoudemire,
like, obviously Lillard's a way better player.
Of course.
Stoudemire, though, I think is almost just as like
with that.
Like, yeah. Because Lillard was never really any special teams.
No.
Like, he was a special player.
He
but
had
like
a few big shots in the playoffs.
Yeah, like Bonzi Wells.
Yeah.
Wallace. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, all like, those were
those are the teams. Yeah, I agree.
Jermaine O'Neal, which is crazy.
Yeah, Jermaine, I get out of high school.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Part of the mouse of the palace, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So the floor is yours. The trailblazer himself, the innovator, the inventor, the goat.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the stats, about the experience, training camp? The floor is yours.
So I don't know if you've heard me say this across multiple different radio hits and multiple different podcasts. The offense wasn't great. No. So here's what I'll say. I really admire and respect the fact that they stuck with us. And last time I said this, people were like, well, it was only 2 weeks of camp. What do you think they were going to give it up so quick? Maybe. Like, I don't know. Right. Like, maybe for real. Like, they could have been like, this isn't working. We need to practice something else to start the season. They stuck with it. Like, Jalen stuck with it. He was under center, play action, bootleg. Like, they are all in on trying this. And I know that could have been assumed, but I think the fact they did it all training camp is admirable to me. So that is honestly like, I wanted to get that.
Good. I appreciate it. Now, not for me. I said,
I know I'm saying for me,
like, but I agree. We were
trying something new. They have something that, you know,
we know how hard it is to try new things.
Exactly. It's brave. You do it in front of a lot of people. You have me charting every throw. Like, it's got to be annoying. Right.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Now, as to how it looked, like, it definitely, I think, in my opinion, actually, the passing game got worse as camp went on.
Terrific.
Now, part of that could be because early on, I wasn't expecting much. And so, like, as it went on, you wanted to see something better and it became more alarming, right? So that could be why it was worse. I think the running game looks good. We'll see if once teams gear up to stop the run, how the running game goes. But I think looks good, the running game. They're just sloppy, like, and which is unlike Nick Sirianni. Last year, the team was actually pretty sloppy, but like penalties, miscommunications, interceptions. And again, I know what you're going to say.
Well, it's early.
That's what you expected. Yeah. It's early, but it doesn't change the fact that that is what's happening.
It's how it looks. Yeah. I will say, and again, early, you know how I feel. I'm not judging this offense for a while, but I will say, I think there are real counters. You get like the fact they face Eagles defense every day in practice is, you know, something. It's one of the best defense in the league.
Now, didn't look good against
and
the Patriots.
And I do think that the Eagles defense is not scheming for the run, which will make it, you know, easier to pass the ball theoretically, right?
And harder to run it.
Harder to run it, but easier to pass it. Like, the point is, the passing game is the issue. Yeah. In 2024, they schemed to run it, and guess what they did? They ran it all over every team, every game. So, like, I feel confident they can run the ball even if teams are scheming again, if they run it well. Like, we know they can. I feel like they'll be able to run the football. If teams are scheming for the run, it's going to make it easier for them to pass than it is in camp and practice. And again, more than anything, I think it's gonna take time. I mean, how many practices did they have their starting three receivers on the field at the same time?
Yeah, not many.
Right? Like none, like one or whatever. A couple.
Five or six.
Not many. But of training camp part, like not many, right? They had OTAs.
Well, they had the first three where they were all there.
Lemon was there for the first three. And then this last one. So four practices.
No. They've had three this week. They've had six total practices this week.
They've had six practices this week.
All right. We're butchering.
You're saying three at the beginning and three this
week. Six total practices. Okay. They've had all three receivers.
All three receivers. Yes. All right. So a very small portion of the training camp period.
Yeah. Like a third.
What was it? Like 20 practices? A little
No, it was 17.
I thought it was 20.
No, it was 17.
Wow.
So six divided by 17. It's like a third.
So that roughly.
It's a little more than you think, but it is not.
Yeah.
It is not a small amount.
It's also three at the beginning and three at the end. So there's no like building. There's no working on things. You're kind of just restarting over on.
I agree with the overall point.
I mean, it matters.
Yeah. But nothing I love more than semantics and details.
Oh, I know.
Yes, especially with training camp.
Very pedantic.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you.
No problem. But yeah, so a small percentage.
We are way too pedantic in sports talk to begin
with. For sure.
It gets pretty annoying.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing I feel. The two things I feel the strongest about coming out of camp. One thing I feel the strongest
about. I do it too, by the way. I'm pedantic sometimes.
Yeah,
too.
I think everyone is. Like, to where we are on the extreme edge of it.
Zoe is the most pedantic person alive. I can't get away.
It's a good word, pedantic.
I love it. I'm trying to use
it's
it
a very
more.
Good word.
But like, to the point where like, every time, like I'll, like if she says something that it like, she'll be like, oh, you're an idiot. Or not literally, I'm just trying to say,
right.
I'll be like, oh, who am I? You're an idiot. Like imitating her. And she'll be like, it's you. You just said it. Who am I? You. And I'm like, all right, dude.
Roasted.
It wasn't the heart of what I'm saying, but you're right.
Yeah.
She always does that.
Roasted.
Anyway. Yeah.
So the one thing I feel the strongest about is I think they're definitely going to win week one. And like, ultimately, Nick and Jalen know how to win games. So sometimes I feel silly being like, they're turning it over all the time. The offense looks terrible. They're probably going to win 12 games. You know, it's like, but that's how I feel. Like that I know it doesn't add up completely, but that's how I feel. I think the offense will be sloppy. I think they will struggle to throw the ball, and I think they'll win 12 games.
Right? So I'm going to
pick 10.
I'm going to be at 11. We'll see. We're going to make our official picks in 2 weeks. I'm probably at 11. I'm between 11 and 12, not 10, 11. I'll probably be at 11. But yeah, I just think, as I've said many times, like, I agree with you. I think it's going to look ugly at first. I do.
The only thing I disagree with you on that
but I don't think it's going to, I think there are going to be problems.
I wish I could pull you back a little from week 7 or 8 and have you more like week 4 or 5. I know it's a small thing speaking about
it's all dependent. Like this, we can't say now, like if from week 5, it has been the worst offense you've ever seen and nothing's working right and there's no progress. Well, of course that's going to be different. But if we're seeing like, oh, they were a little bit better than they were last week, a little bit better than they were last, like it's all like, yeah, we don't know how it's going to play.
I just think, If we're
it's all league, about how it looks.
Yeah, and it's about winning games too.
Yeah, for but sure. Again, it's about with the offense and stuff. It's about look like again. I think where it's like I'm saying I'm willing to give them more time because I think it's going to take time. But again, if to the point being, if the first 4 weeks are the worst, like if they're getting 100 yards a game, yeah, like of course, like you have to reevaluate what you're saying.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that I think it's going to look ugly at first and get better as the season goes on. And by halfway point of the season, we're like, okay, this works.
Yeah, or. And I'm just
thinking, it won't work.
Thinking out loud here, it could look mostly the same all year. They run the ball well.
Of course they could.
Complete a bunch of short passes. They, you know, could hit a few long ones, right? Could. Like what happened on Tuesday night was they struggled to pass the ball, but they also had three touchdowns that were like of 20 plus yards. So, you know, they're like, they could also be like,
play great defense,
ugly, big play.
Dude, they could win by running the ball well, playing great defense, and like two good throws.
And like fluking in the big, not fluking.
Yeah, but like two big throws a game. Yeah. Two long passes and you win, you know, for sure.
All right, so here's the other thing I feel the strongest about.
Okay.
Just me, you, and Tucker. Although, not here.
Tucker's listening. He's listening. Always listening.
I think.
Look at the baby.
Now he's saying hi. There he is.
Always cool listening. Look at the baby. Look at the baby. Yes.
This is just today. Might not feel this way next week, but I need to be honest.
Great.
I am so sick of hearing about this offense. Like, this idea that this offense is like, oh, like they're going to run this great offense with like motion and blah, 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 blah. Like, guess what? They've won a ton of games without this stupid offense. Like, this whole like, can Jalen do it? Like, who cares? Like, I know it's because offense are doing, but like, if they can't run this offense, then get a new offense. Like, this offense isn't new. It's not creative. It's not like this thing we've never seen. It's just he's going under center. And so I'm so worried that like so many of the mistakes in training camp are just being brushed aside. It's like, well, it's a new offense. Like this is why I could never cover the Rams.
Completely diverge. No, I think the offense was a bad scheme last year. And you
don't disagree.
That's where we diverge. Like, I think they had to change the offense. You don't, that's really like the key of this.
And here's what I'd say. Even if that's true, right? I don't think this team's path to winning is like having this unbelievable, like, now, obviously, if you have an unbelievable scheme, that's a positive. Like, I get what, right?
I think you are underplaying how important
scheme
is. No,
but what I'm saying is, I think the last few years, all I've heard is Kyle Shanahan, like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Like, hasn't won a Super Bowl, sure, right? Like, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel. Like, oh, I hope they get Mike McDaniel. His teams blow all the time.
I don't disagree with this.
I don't disagree with the heart
of what you're getting at.
I get what people are saying. Obviously, if they run a super cool scheme that's creative, that would be cool, right? But I'm worried this season is becoming more about if they can run the scheme than how many games they'll win. Like, and I know we do sports talk and that's just like part of it, but you know, like, what do you care more about, the scheme or wins this year? Like, it has to be wins. I don't see how it can't be wins. And I said this on the morning show, but it's true. I think the core of this is like people are taking the winning for granted. Like, it's just assumed they'll win double digit games. It's assumed they'll be in the playoffs, where it's like, let's not overlook those accomplishments first, right? Like, what they've done the past years is more impressive than running this offense. Like, if they master this offense this year, that would be great, but that wouldn't be more impressive to me than winning the division, winning 11 games. Like, now look, their defense will be awesome. So if they have a great offense, they probably will win like 14 games. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I understand what you're saying. I'm just sick of hearing about this stupid offense.
I think philosophically, I disagree with some of what you're saying, but I agree that we've gone so far where it's like, the offense. We're talking about the offense and not about the season.
Like it's like this cheat code to winning in the NFL. Like if only they could run this offense.
I do think they needed to change the offense. I do think that this is where the NFL is and they were behind. And I do think that they need to be able to run something more complex.
Part of my concern with that is I don't ever think you get ahead by like just trying to catch up with everybody.
No, I agree, but I think that's why you hire Sean Mannion. The point is that look, there's only so much you could do on a football field, right? It's not like someone's going to come up with some like whenever it's a brand new thing or whatever. It's Chip Kelly, right? Yeah. It's the Wildcat. It doesn't last.
Or like the Ronnie Brown thing, like that works for a few games.
That's the Wildcat.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's crazy. That is a Wildcat. You're right. Yeah, but I think about it as almost completely different.
But I'm with you. And
thing.
I agree. Yeah. Like those things can be fads, whatever, but they don't last. Whereas this offense is not a fad. It is the way that offenses are run in the way that scheme is run in the NFL right now. It's just offshoots of the West Coast. It's not like it's anything crazy.
Right.
You know?
But I think the way you last in the NFL is how the Eagles have won. And so while I think last year it's somewhere in the middle, right? It is somewhere between the players weren't good enough. The coaching wasn't good enough in the scheme.
Yeah,
was,
but I think the scheme was really bad last year. That's where we did. I think the scheme was laughably bad.
It definitely could have been. I don't fully agree, but I'm not going to like push back on it. Right. I also think like they got a lot of penalties, right? The offensive line.
They could have been better. I agree. And so, but I think you're giving yourself a better chance to win by running a more complex scheme. If you can run it, obviously if you can run it,
it's just hard for me where like for years I've kind of mocked like the, you know,
I know.
Does he get extra points because he did motion there? And like all I heard about was motion, right? And so again, I get it. I understand it. I feel like we are focusing on the wrong things here.
I get it. I disagree, but I get the heart of it. I think the heart of what you're saying, there's something there, but I think that your specific examples aren't always right. Yeah. But I get your point.
I'm just ready to talk about like,
oh, I get it.
Wins and games and stop being like, you know, can
you? Oh, really?
And also like,
oh, you want the season instead of training camp? Well, yeah, no, that sounds right.
I
that
love
sounds
training
right,
camp.
Damn it. Yes, the best time of the year is about to start.
The last thing I'll say, if I was Jalen, I would be like, who is this offense to come in here and test me? Like, you know, again, it's like putting it's like Brian Daboll, right? When it was like, oh, Brian Daboll's going to come here and tell me how to win and tell me how to like run a successful offense. Like Brian Daboll, why don't you do one thing of note in the NFL? Mike McDaniel, one thing of note. So like if I'm Jalen, if I can't run this offense, I would be so offended if the reason they moved on from me is because I couldn't run this stupid offense. That would be honestly my opinion.
I agree.
When I
just don't think
so
it's a stupid offense.
You,
I get your point, and I get
I know
where you're
isn't stupid. I'm saying
I like get the, it. I get what you're saying, but it is what it is. Like if you can't run the offense that they want to run, I mean that's
then
a problem.
Run a different offense.
But the offense they were running wasn't good enough. So if you could,
well, it's good enough to win a Super Bowl,
but. Things change in the NFL.
I know
you
does.
Have to adapt.
But what doesn't change is winning at the line of scrimmage, running the football, and taking care
but
of the
yes,
ball.
Yes, but if you do those things and have a better offense, you could be even better.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Until this offense leads to turnovers, and then it's like, well, they have to well, try
it's
to
a balance, of course. Yeah. I just think you're simplifying it too much.
Agreed. I think both sides are simplifying it too much.
Probably a little bit, but I think the one side's more right than the other.
That's funny. I think the other side is more right. Yeah.
All right, let's get to Von Von's.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Okay. Obviously, as always, okay.
You never
do. So this isn't like isn't a deep one, but I think it's funny that we'll say like, here's my cell number. When like really that's just your phone number.
Yeah, it's a great point.
You know, I know some
I don't
people
ever say cell. Some people I say phone number. This okay. is my phone number now.
So
I get what you're saying, but like I've made the switch. I don't have any other phone number.
Yeah, we don't have a landline.
100%. Yeah, same.
I wonder if my parents still do. I feel like they probably do because you just like keep it, but I haven't called it in 15 years or whatever. Man, a landline is. I used to remember like when I was young.
Oh, I still do remember.
It's numbers. Also crazy to think.
I can do my number when I was a kid. I can do my number.
Oh, I think the number I remember more than anything.
I can
number
do
my
friends' numbers.
Is,
like, yeah.
I kind of want to say my landline number.
Go for it. I can say it doesn't exist anymore.
I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
I don't know.
You just don't want
just
to?
Feels like no, but it's a great number. It's like very, it's a pattern. It's very good. That's too much. But it's crazy to think when you were on a landline growing up, like someone else could pick the phone up and just listen in or like,
oh yeah,
you
sure.
get like a busy signal. Course, like that's pretty crazy. It would
dude,
be
I
like,
lived before caller, like before you could click over. Like there wasn't
that's crazy too.
There was just no noise. Like I was alive where there was no like, oh, hold on, let me switch over. You would hit the friggin' like the thing you hang up on the phone and click the thing and it would switch over.
Well, isn't it also, I could be wrong about this, but I have a memory of hanging up the phone and the other person not hanging up so it would disconnect. That can't be right, but
what do you mean?
Like, let's say me and you were on the phone.
Yeah, right? If you hung up and picked it back up, if the person hadn't hung up, they would still
that's
be there.
That's crazy,
yeah,
too. That's almost like taking someone hostage. It's like, yo, hang up. And it's like, I'm not hanging up. Like, but the other thing that is, oh, man, I just, like to think that if I was on the phone back in the day, like my sister couldn't get on. Like, you know, it's like,
oh, yeah. You got phone time, buddy.
Or when cell phones were first invented. You'd be like, how many minutes a month do you need?
Yeah,
imagine now, like
all
knowing
this,
how many
texting.
Minutes.
Texting used to cost money. Paper text.
I literally couldn't survive without unlimited texting at this point. The amount of money, if I charged 10, I used to pay 10 cents a text message on one of my phones.
I think I'd
spend like $150 a day.
Could be a good thing. Could keep us texting.
Right.
So maybe chill out on the text, everybody.
But it's just funny to think it's like, here's my cell number. Yeah. Like, no, that's just your number. Yeah, like you might have a business phone, but that is now the... That is the one you need to identify.
I agree
different.
With this. It's a good take by you. Though I think I was already there, but I think there are people. I agree. Oh, let me give you my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As opposed to the other one. Okay. So I keep having to tease this final thought because Tucker's not here. Mm. And he's an integral part of my Any Given Sunday final thought. Hey, buddy. So Tucker has promised us that when we record early next week, he will be here.
Okay.
He's here all week. So I promise the first pod of next week, my... multiple page Any Given Sunday final. I'm so excited about it. It's gonna be great. All right, but I'm gonna do something else today. I'm gonna do something else today. I'm gonna start something new because I feel like I always talk about movies, which I love.
You do, but it's okay.
We talk sports
here.
It's
a true passion.
So I have three favorite things in life.
You should really do a movie podcast.
I know.
Just like for yourself. I know. I think it'd like be fun. Like talk about just doing something for fun.
I know. Time is the issue, but
I'll co-host it with you.
Would you? Look at you.
I mean, it would be the worst movie pod ever. Yeah.
So I always talk about my love of movies. Obviously, you know my love of sports. It's literally what we do.
Yes.
I feel like I don't talk enough about how much I love music. Because that's my third thing. Okay. I think there are three things that make the world go round: sports, movies, and music.
What
I don't really
love?
Care about my. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Love to.
I'm just saying.
Love. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I'm talking about
cars.
I'm talking about entertainment. I'm talking about things. Yes.
If you could only have a car or music.
Music.
And dude, you had to walk everywhere.
Dude, there are very few things that I would choose. Mute like now, before
I think,
music.
Think about this for a
I
second.
I thought about it.
Okay.
Dude,
okay,
I couldn't live without music. Like I might choose music over watching sports. I'd have to think about it. I probably wouldn't because of my career, but if I didn't have this job, like I would consider choosing music. That's how much I care about. I would probably choose music over movies. I don't know. Like,
so I
really
love
close.
Music.
I think music is one of the most important things on the planet. Like literally, I think music makes the world go round. I think music is important and matters. There's music therapy. There's music like all stuff. I think it really matters.
I think it's going to take on.
I think it's got a chance.
It's
got a future. Yeah.
So I'm gonna start just throwing out like some songs that I like every once in a while. So I'm gonna give you five songs that I'm into right now. Okay.
I love how similar this is to movies.
Well, yeah, I'm just the type of file.
I was gonna say five songs about a son and a father.
No. I'm just doing random. Five songs that pop in my head.
Just five songs you like.
Right now.
And then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at the most recent songs I've listened to.
Okay. I like this.
If I can figure out how to do it.
This is good. All right. Well, while you do that, I will start with Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay.
Unbelievable song. Arrested Development did a famous hip hop song where they sample it.
Yeah.
Everyday People, Sly and the Family Stone. One of the great songs by anyone. It's only like 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, too.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone is a great song. I've talked a lot about Stankonia lately and how obsessed I am with that album.
Yeah.
I'll just pick a song from it that's not Bombs Over Baghdad. Humble Mumble. What a freaking song, man.
Great name.
It's a great name.
Great song.
Yeah. Andre's rapping that, one of my favorite raps in any song ever. I think it is so cool. It's really the whole album. Like Big Boy at the beginning of, I can't say that, Gangsta Bleep, the song. When he says the, you know.
Wait, is this the S word?
Yes, the S word.
You just, not a bad word.
Gangsta S.
Yeah.
When he does the, we got some El Dorado funk for you. Keep it crunk in here. Like, I can't say it. No one has sounded cooler in the history of the planet than Big Boy at the beginning of that song.
Big Boy's pretty
That's
cool.
That's my take for that. Spanish Moon by Little Feat. Ha! Huh.
What a
buddy,
song.
What a freaking song. So the whole Waiting for Columbus is their live album. I mean this when I say it. Little Feat Waiting for Columbus is one of the best live albums by any band ever.
And who sings full that?
Little Feat is the name of the band.
Oh, I thought that was a song. No. Little Feat by Columbus.
Waiting for Columbus is the name of their live album.
And is by Little Feat.
By Little Feat. Okay. The song I'm talking about is Spanish Moon.
This is like a Mad Libs.
Spanish Moon is the name of the song by Little Feat. Okay. It's on album, but I'm saying check out their live album if you're interested. It's like some swamp rock. It is so freaking awesome. Love Little Feat, love Spanish Moon. Okay. I have a bunch of songs. So I'm kind of just picking from. I'm going to do like five at a time, but I got so many songs in here. Just stuff like Chameleon. You a Herbie Hancock guy?
It's funny you bring that up because there is a skit, and I think you should leave, about Herbie Hancock that I actually referenced two pods ago.
Oh, so. Yeah. I vaguely remember that. Yes. Herbie Hancock is the man.
So I was pretty sure Herbie Hancock was a real person. Yes. But in the skit,
he's a jazz musician.
You could have convinced me he was. Actually, Tucker, thumb up or down, is that Herbie Hancock in the skit? Like, is he actually...
He's alive. I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
So Herbie Hancock is in the skit. Are you a Herbie Hancock fan, Tucker? Just give me a thumbs up or not. Yes!
All right.
Just check out Herbie Hancock. Not like newer jazz, like awesome stuff. Chameleon, it's a 14-minute song, but trust me, it's so freaking awesome. Chameleon, couldn't recommend it higher. No words. Okay. I know.
I was in the jazz band. That does sound jazzy.
Oh, what a great song, Chameleon. I promise you, you can't get wrong. I'll do one more.
Is this six or is this five?
This is five. Okay. This is five. One more. I will go with, I think this song is so fascinating. I think this might be like the most, it's not the most covered song of all time, but in terms of like, if you go onto like Apple Music or whatever, you know, whatever you want to use, and you look for a name of something, this song has multiple different names by multiple different people, and it's called Gangsta Lean
by Littlefoot.
Diamond in the Back. It's got multiple, you know, Diamond in the Back.
So Ludacris did a.
I love his version. I wanna.
Yeah, it's a good one. That was back in the day.
It's a great version. Yeah. But the original, I think the original version is by William Devon, the Little E, Big V. That's the one that I recognize most. Like Curtis Mayfield has so many people do the versions of it. And it's got multiple names, which I'm so bad. Like some Pretty people cool. call Gangsterine, some people call Diamond in the Back. There are other names for it. Love the song. All time great song. But I also like how many different versions of the different names of one song there are.
Yeah, that is good. And Luda did have a sick version of it.
He did. I really like that one. I've listened to like 40 different people do that song. All right. What are your last five songs?
So Sicko Mode by Travis Scott. Beware of the Boys by Punjabi MC.
You know Travis Scott's in the Odyssey, right?
Wow, it's interesting. Didn't know that.
He is the first person to speak.
I might just have to break and see it, and not
just
the 70
not regular. It's so great.
Seems like I saw such it regular. A waste of time. But like, I can't take it.
You have to see it.
I know, yeah. I know. It's great though.
Travis Scott, the first person to talk.
Heartbreaker by Mariah Carey.
Okay.
The banjo song by Mumford and Sons.
This is super eclectic. I like this.
I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Classic.
Moment for Life by Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
Something by Flo Rider. Oh, this is probably because when
you
Tucker and Tucker were really getting on about Flo Rider.
And then it's just, I was like, I only really know
Chance the Rapper, Oh Boy by Cameron, Role Model, and then Billy Joel Essentials. I really like the song, She Loves Me Like a Rock. Love Me. Or no, that might not be Billy Joel. She Loves
Me. That does not sound like Billy Joel.
The Billy Joel song I like is, what is
it? I actually just had a Billy Joel take recently.
Oh, The Longest Time.
Great song.
Love that song. Yeah, great song.
That's a popcorn-y song. I think the best, and Tucker, I'm guessing you're a better barometer for this because I'm guessing your Billy Joel knowledge is somewhat limited.
I did see Billy Joel.
I'm a Billy Joel. No, okay, he's not either. I'm a Billy Joelsman. Like,
he's a good dude. When I saw him in concert, I was stunned how many songs
I can sing every word to We Insert the Fire. Like, you know that, right?
No,
like,
big deal to you.
Every single word.
Yeah.
You know, I won't do it now, but I can. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Ray, China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Jordan Magic. Okay. I think Billy Joel's, and I've thought about this a lot over the years, because like Piano Man is, you know, iconic, The Stranger, the whole I'm not. His best song is Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. That song is freaking
amazing. I think his best song is Vienna.
Amazing. Vienna's a really good song too.
Yeah.
I like Leningrad, Allentown, whatever. Like the Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
It's a great name.
Well, you know the song, Bottle of Red.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure.
And when it goes to,
So I think that song starts out good.
No, that's the point. It starts out, and it's like three different songs in one song. I love it. Come at me if you don't think Scenes from Italian Restaurant is Billy Joel's best song. I dare you to come at me on Billy Joel. BJ's my guy. All right.
All right.
See what I did there. All right. Let's do
good.
It. We out of here.
Yeah. Game on Friday.
Game on Friday. Saturday, Burlington in New Jersey at the Ashley. Our first show from Ashley.
Tucker texted,
can't wait.
I have a video of James tickling me during Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Like, this is fair to read on air.
You have a video of me from your wedding? Is that from your wedding?
Oh, yes.
That makes me laugh. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
Did
that?
You have your shirt on at that point, Tucker?
He's kidding himself.
You're going to guess? No. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
I don't remember this.
It would have been a good video.
Absolutely believe it. Yeah, maybe we'll get that out somewhere. All right. So check us out. Saturday, 1 and 3. Obviously, listen, but coming out, we're going to be in Burlington. It's going to be awesome. So until then, he's I'm James.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.